Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And there were some things in this commentary, guys, that you should be offended by as women. It was so sexist, and they don't even know it. It was good versus evil in that game today. Evil? Called us dirty debutantes? Take your phone out right now and Google dirty debutantes and tell me what it says. Dirty debutantes? Are you kidding me? I'm not gonna let you talk about 18 to 21 year old kids in that tone. It was even sexist for this reporter to say UCLA was milk and cookies. Now, you women sit there and you keep your mouth shut if you want. I'm in the last third of my career, but I'm not going to let sexism continue. And if you don't think that's sexism, then you're in denial.
We do have a lot of black women on this team. We do have a lot of people that are from different areas. And unfortunately, you know, that bias does exist still today. And a lot of the people that are making those comments are being racist towards my teammates. And, you know, I'm in a unique situation where I see it with myself, you know. I'll talk trash and I'll get a different reaction than if Angel talks trash. And so it's really up to me to, you know, it's not up to me, but I have a duty to my teammates. To have their back. And obviously, you know, some of the words that were used in that article were very sad and upsetting. And that type of description of us isn't always motivating. I think, you know, calling us basically the dirty debutantes, like, that has nothing to do with sports.
Mike, you called her a star a few minutes ago, talking about Kim Mulkey, LSU head coach. She is a star. And whether you are a Kim Mulkey fan or not, you always show up to hear what she's going to say, to see what she's going to wear, just to be in the midst of a conversation that she's going to start. It's going to be a provocative conversation more often than not. And sometimes she raises some points that we disagree with, and in some cases, like here, when she was talking about the LA Times report, I agree with her completely.
Yeah. The article. You're right.
Yeah, like exactly. She got it right on that. She was totally right on the LA Times article, and we'll talk offline, Mike. When I first saw it, I wonder if you. Not shame on me though. Shame on me because now I'm gonna get myself in trouble. But when I first saw the article, I'll put it this way: when I first saw the article. And I saw the quotes from it. I said, okay. I think I may know who did this. It was not the person I thought of. So, okay. It was not the person I thought wrote it. But it was silly. It was not written. It was not informative. And this is somebody who covers UCLA. Ben Bolt, he covers UCLA. He used to cover the Clippers. He's been covering sports for a long time. He's old enough to know better. So it doesn't read like someone who was really invested in the beat. It is just so,
you
thought it was?
Real quick, just, I too invested. I thought it read, it was like, it read like somebody who First of all, it read like it had a local tone for a national paper. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, like,
yeah, yeah.
Was it when you try to rile up too rah, rah. Like, a little too much of a homer, you know? He felt too invested in this game, and as opposed to being an objective, unbiased reporter. He was
so
trolling.
She was right
about
that.
Felt like somebody on Twitter got a chance to write for the LA Times. You know?
Exactly. Just kind of took
Times,
over.
LA Times, man. Yeah. Which is the real villain in this, by the way. The real villain in this is the LA Times. But continue.
So, the LA Times, Kim Mulkey is right about. We'll get to the Washington Post in a second. But I do, before we get to the Washington Post, I want to get your reaction to this, because I feel like the Van Lith comments that we just heard there, where she says, look, we got a lot of black women on this team. I do some stuff. I talk trash, and it has a different reaction than when they do
it. Sure. Absolutely.
Hey, listen. Thank you. And this is what being a great teammate is all about. Sometimes
we need accomplices, not allies. That's an accomplice, not an ally.
Hey, look. Now I'm just telling you from my experience at being a black person in this country. Sometimes you want other people to notice the obvious.
Sure.
Like, don't keep turning around looking at me saying, hey, what you think about it? No, what you think about it? What do you think about it? My blackness does not mean that I exclusively comment on these issues that I know you see, that I know you hear. So
we've talked about this for years. I am so tired of being somebody's phone call for a racial conversation. Yeah. Like that's for the longest time, that's what we were. It's like, shit, we got to talk about black shit. Okay. Hey, Michael, you free? You busy? Like, none of you motherfuckers can have an intelligent conversation about race, which is why we keep having the same conversation, because we're the only ones that.
You don't call me any other time. Right. Just want to call about that. Hey, man. Right. Before I left, I did sports radio, as you know. I did sports radio for 13 years in Boston. And before I left, like my last month there, somebody said something which caused everybody to go to sensitivity training, racial sensitivity training. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I could have taken I'm just going to be honest with you. I knew I was leaving. When somebody says something they shouldn't have said, I already had my next gig lined up. I knew I was going to go. So I was like, I could just ignore this, or I can go for the entertainment. So I went for the entertainment. I chose to go for the entertainment. So during this sensitivity training, a lot of people there, a lot of white folks there, honestly, were upset that they were in sensitivity training. They were upset that they had to think about diversity and inclusion and all this. They were angry about it. And they were like, what do you mean we're diverse? And I didn't say a word. One of my white colleagues stood up. I was proud of him. He stood up and said, why are you guys so angry? Diversity. I see Michael Holly and the rest of us. We're not diverse at all. So what y'all talking about?
Right.
Thank you. My work here is done. I appreciate you. But no, really, Van Lith, good stuff. Everybody, you're not the only one who sees it, but I'll give you props for being the one who sees it and who speaks it. You articulated it very well, very accurate. I'm sure your teammates appreciate it, and I can tell you from afar, I've never met the young woman, but I appreciate it too. Now,
I'm old enough to
you
remember.
Take over on the, talking, you can add anything to talking, it, or maybe you want to get to the Washington Post.
Well, I'll get to that, but I was just referencing how, you know, oftentimes, you know, white executives or producers would look to us to carry the racial conversations, or even white hosts who were uncomfortable talking about race. It wasn't. Sometimes it was from a place of sincerity, and a place. And I'll be fair. It was from. It sometimes it was from a place of sincerity or a place of of understanding that, you know, that they didn't know. Like your guy who said diversity is Michael Hawley and the rest of us. Some people felt like, hey, I can't have a conversation about race. I'm not black. I can't relate. I don't understand, right? Okay. But the only way the conversation is ever going to evolve is if white people lead those conversations. And I'm not saying anything new or groundbreaking. This has been said. And so it often frustrated me, us, having to give voice to these issues when others had the privilege of being silent. Likewise, I'm old enough to remember when women were only brought on to sports shows to talk about either women's sports or domestic violence or sexual assault. Mm. That wasn't that long ago, believe it or not, you know? And so the thing I do want to call out is, and I know she was speaking to the people sitting before her, which I wish I could have had a reverse angle, but when Kim Mulkey said, this language should offend you as women. No, it should offend all of us. Mm. Should offend the men. It offends me. It offends you, Michael. It should offend all of us. And as long and just as white people have the responsibility of dismantling systemic racism, men bear the burden of dismantling misogyny and patriarchy. Women can't do it. If women could do it, they'd have done it already. Oof. If women could do it by themselves, it'd already be done. Okay? And so those conversations, these conversations, cannot be the exclusive domain of women. Just as, you know, as many have pointed out, women can't be the only consumers and enjoyers and patrons and fans of women's basketball. You know, that's where the growth of that game comes in. So that would be the first thing, is that it's offensive. It's universally offensive what this reporter did. The reason I said the LA Times is the real villain here, that shit should have never seen the light of day. Like, if there isn't a full-on internal audit of their editorial processes to where something like that could not only see the light of day, but then the Times got the nerve to publish in 2024. In 2024. Editor's note. The original version of this commentary did not meet Time's editorial standards, you think?
Oh.
It has been edited to remove language that was inappropriate and offensive. We apologize to the LSU basketball program and to our readers. First of all, and if you read the updated version of the story, the premise remains. It's still the same premise. it's the same thing, just more sanitized language involved. But it's the same premise. But beyond that, man, like, you ain't putting that toothpaste back in the tube. You're not unringing that bell. That whistle has already been heard. So, like, what is their process where something like this could even see the light of day? Where some editor looked at this, presumably, and said, yep, good to go.
Like, this is good.
No editor ever worked with. No editor, exactly. Oh, spot on. Nailed it. I think about the stuff that Ken Freitas used to change of mind.
Ken Freitas, Bob Duffy. How about Duff?
Bob Duffy? Like these people, like, I mean, are
just
you
just taking
like,
it out? And explain it later.
Here?
We're taking it out. We're just taking it out.
Right.
I'll explain to you. I ain't got time.
We're asking you.
I ain't got time for your nonsense right now.
Who let this see the light of day? Who let this see the light of day? And again, man, like, listen, I think there is room for criticism or for critique, if you want, of these athletes. But there's inbounds and there's out of bounds. And this is so clearly out of bounds. So clearly,
by the way,
so egregious, so extreme. Like, come on.
I took Kim Mulkey's advice and I did Google dirty debutantes. Bruh. Come on, she's right.
I'm a sucker for alliteration. You know that. Hey, you know that's my love language is alliteration.
It,
but come on, my
if
guy.
If you Google it, like, it goes in a different direction. Let's just say that it goes
precisely.
In a different direction.
Oh yeah, to say the least. No, and it's how that got published is my biggest question. Everybody, whether it's you know Haley Van Lith, whether it's Kim Mulkey or any people have already said what needed to be said about this. I just would like to know where the real accountability beyond an editor's note and an attempt in 2024 at walking something back that everybody's already seen. I'd like to know where that accountability is or will be. Or are they just expecting that we'll just forget about it once we start watching the games tonight?
Or, and also, listen, but I want you to get to, Malky in a second, but let me just say this. Did it not meet Times editorial standards?
Or right, are they mad because the people Times got pissed and called them
not
on it?
Not like being called out by Kim Mulkey.
I think it was probably more the latter. It's probably more
would
the
there
latter.
Have been any, was there any tension in the office? Was there any discussion? Did somebody say, I told you, I called him up and then he told me that hey, I got to run it. He had a tantrum, whatever it is. Was there anything that happened before Kim Mulkey took the dais and said, hey, that was crazy? Did anybody have that conversation? And so if conversation.
Well, who are the anybodies?
Yeah.
Well, who are they? What does any the news editor look like? Well, this is an ongoing conversation in our business. What does the newsroom look like? What does the editorial board look like? Like, what are the people on the copy desk? I say editorial board. I mean the copy desk. What are the people on the copy desk? What is that makeup? What are their perspectives? What are their backgrounds? What are their races? What are their genders? You know, like talk about diversity. It's like people think of diversity in our business is they think about it on camera. You know what I mean? The powers that be, they think about it on camera. Off camera, man, do we have far to go. Behind the scenes,
and so
in control rooms, in meeting rooms, in boardrooms, what is the standard? Great question. Because it did meet the standard. It met somebody. What was the what's the standard and what's the process for making sure that it adhered to that standard? Because somebody laid eyes on that and said it was okay. Probably more than one somebody. And I would love to know who those people are. And I love answers from them because people know the report. That's the thing about, you and I have been growing up in print, understanding how the process works. For better or worse, our name is on it. We wrote it. It's our words. We got to be held accountable for it. But there should be checks and balances and should be safety nets that oftentimes protect us from ourselves.
That's right. Most of the time it does happen.
Yeah. So this, even if this reporter actually thought this, there's an entire institution, a national paper, a supposedly respected paper, that should see to it that this never sees the light of day. They have an obligation to protect the sanctity and reputation of that paper by saying, hey man, take this shit somewhere else. You're like, this is the LA Times. Like, save that for your group chat if you must express those types of sentiments. Right. If you must, As far as the Washington Post, though, conversely.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I think not only does Kim Mulkey owe the Washington Post and Kent Babb an apology, she owes them a thank you. Because that was a damn good article. Does that mean that a profile, a takeout, it wasn't a hit piece, it wasn't a takedown, it was what we call a takeout. And for me, it was as thorough as it could possibly be without talking to the subject. And you and I talked about how to go about doing a profile of somebody that won't cooperate with the process. She said, she told us, they've been trying to interview me for 2 years. Okay? But you know what he didn't do? At least from what I could tell, I didn't see him grind an axe. I didn't see Kent Babb make it personal. I didn't see him let her lack of cooperation, I didn't see him let that affect his reporting and how he framed the article. I thought it was balanced. I thought it was fair. There was nothing surprising. There were some problematic things. We know what they are. You know, the way she dealt with gay players or just some of her tactics, to name a few. But nothing surprising, nothing that we didn't expect to know about Kim Mulkey. But it was also very revealing. Her family dynamic. Yeah, that was very informative when it comes to how she deals with Brittany Griner and other players in her program, and how she's moved over the years, how she deals with the media. I said last week when we talked about the article coming out, I talked about leadership being lonely. I thought it was fitting that the last image of the piece was her walking through the tunnel alone. You know, it was very well done. And I'm sure she wasn't happy or pleased with everything that was included in it. I'm sure if she had her way, it would have been one-sided in the opposite direction. It was fair. Right, it was balanced. It was thorough. It was a revealing, though not surprising, look at a very complicated and complex figure who has her supporters and has her critics, as anybody that's done anything has. So
for a
that
long
was
time,
much ado
especially
about,
doing it for as long as she has.
For as long as she has. Talk about much ado about nothing. Her going in on the Washington Post, because there is there can't be anything that's libelous or lawsuit worthy, because all the I's were dotted, surprise, surprise, and T's crossed by an institution like the Washington Post. And in fact, most of the information, not most of it, a whole bunch of the information
came from her.
Came from her. Or came
her
from
her book,
memoir,
yeah.
or Brittany Brittany Griner's memoir, or other. It was sourced. It was perfectly and accurately sourced. So, she'll never own up to the fact that she went too far. But I enjoyed the piece.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the piece. I thought it was very well done.
Okay, journalistically, yes. Journalistically, yeah. I'll get back to that. Journalistically, yes. I did enjoy it, but I'm gonna tag on to that in a second. But I just thought about
journalistic,
this.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Challenge me on this. I don't think there's anyone, because Kim Mulkey has some problematic behaviors. There's no question about that with some of their players.
Right.
Some of the comments
how
that she makes
handled
to
COVID.
Them. Hey, what?
Yeah.
What? Wait, you know, this, why do you dress like a boy? And, you know, we can't have that at this, you know, we can't have that at this institution, or, you know, keep that quiet. I don't want
keep
you to bring it up.
Keep your business to yourself. Yeah,
and even when people say that, they don't understand how they think they're being evolved and enlightened when they say that, hey, why we got to talk about it? Well, okay. Well, when we go to a work function, when there's a family picnic, bring your kids to work day or bring your kids to the picnic, and I come with my wife and my kids, you don't say keep that to yourself, do you? I'm pretty much putting my sexuality out there, aren't I? When I say,
I'm bringing
I want
my
to introduce
whole
you
self
to
work,
my wife.
Aren't I?
Yeah. And these,
but because
and
it
these
doesn't
are,
align
these
with
are
your value system, it's problematic. Yeah,
yeah
of course.
So
yeah.
You don't say, keep that to yourself. But when somebody does something that you don't agree with, hey, why we got to talk about it? Because it's
hypocrisy.
Me. Because it's me. All right. Why are you putting that all in my face?
So what am I supposed
it's
to
interesting. Challenge? Right. So, no, but not that part. Challenge me.
Okay, I was about to say, yeah, okay.
I was going to say, she's got her problematic behaviors. What I was going to get to is that there are coaches. I can't think of a single great coach who doesn't have a very structured, very challenging, make you uncomfortable in the game itself. The game itself.
Yes.
Value system.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think there's
who's
a great
find,
coach
who's
who is
gonna find
like,
your limit and then push you past it.
Yes,
absolutely. And then who's
all
and
of
whose
them.
Players
and
are going to swear by her? Because I mean, like I wonder
that's the
what,
through line of great coaches.
I wonder what Reese sport. And Van Lith and Johnson, I wonder what they would say. I'm sure I would have to wonder. It's probably all on record, but privately even, about what Kim Mulkey has meant to their careers. Or go back to... Or
it's
go back
fascinating.
To, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's fascinating to
absolutely.
Me that on one hand, it's like I could feel the judgment and the chill of Kim Mulkey, especially at Baylor. You know, a very... Like this Baptist institution that defines marriage in a certain way and relationships in a certain way. And if you don't feel that way, I feel the chill of that player who's got to function in that environment on one hand. So that's don't like that. But I'm also fascinated by the detail of, hey, she grabbed that same player, grabbed the jersey and said, if you can get past this point, if you can push past this point, you'll be an All-American. Woo! Oh, man, that's motivation. That's motivation. That gave me chills right there. Like, okay, I don't think I can go any further than this, but you think I can. Let's see if I can get there. And she did. She did get there. She did become an All-American. So I think there are a lot of coaches like that. We were talking about the dynasty earlier in Bill Belichick. Some of his players didn't like his tactics, but he had a structure. Right. He had a system, and the system
worked.
The moral
of the story is they get results. They get results, but at what cost?
Multiple championships. Okay, now, here's my pushback on what you said about the story. Kim Mulkey, I wouldn't be giving an apology. From my position as a journalist,
well, she also did him a favor. She also did him a favor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right, she did.
Right, which we talked about.
Journalist, professor, well done. A work. If I'm Kim Mulkey, I'm really uncomfortable with it. Because if I haven't talked to my father in 30 plus years, and I haven't talked to my sister in many years.
Why would she
talk to
me?
And you bringing this stuff up again? I know I brought it up before. I know
Thank
I brought
you.
It up.
Well, wait a minute. Stop right there. It's public domain, number one. Number two, her father talked and her sister talked.
I know.
So wait a second. So that, and it's also, again, very enlightening and informative about how she moved. Because it's like, okay, if you're not talking to your own father and your sister, then we know who else you'll cut off if necessary. So
that's
I mean, but it wasn't a place of judgment. I wasn't reading that. Right. So isn't that the job of the reporter to inform? And those anecdotes, aspects of Kim Mulkey informed me about who she is as a person and a coach.
Did his job. The reporter did his job in an excellent way. But if I'm I'm not saying I do it, but I understand. Kim Mulkey, I understand.
Yeah.
Understand why she was uncomfortable with that thought.
No.
It could have been a number of things. It could have been the player saying, hey, she didn't respect my humanity. That could have made her uncomfortable. She didn't know where that was going to go. Or she got a tip that he did talk to her father
and her
family.
Sister. Yeah, sure.
And what are they going to say? I haven't talked to him in 37 years. What's he going to say?
Yeah, I haven't talked to her. That's different from a hit piece. Again, when she's addressed it.
Well,
when she's
addressed
it. You know? Well, listen,
I said earlier,
it depends on what things I'm sure her preference would not have been those. I'm sure that those elements were included in the story. But what I will say is, going back to what I was talking about like really getting beyond this idea of good for the women's game, like you can't have it both ways. OK, the Washington Post did a comprehensive profile on Kim Mulkey. You can't then say, cover us, but only cover us according to the way we want to be covered. Cover us, but only play with kid gloves. It's like, okay, we're going to cover you like the marquee box office attractions that you are. Somebody may do a comprehensive profile of you that's going to be balanced, fair, and complicated. The way we're supposed to cover all athletes. We're not supposed to write, milk and cookies
flowery
story about Kim Mulkey when you are a complicated figure, when you have rubbed some people the wrong way or done things that are problematic. He still gave her props. So all I'm saying is, like, if she wanted to control that narrative, she could have easily participated in the interview. She chose not to. He did his
but
job,
even if she had
which
controlled
is to
that,
cover her fairly. That was all he was obligated
even
to
if
do.
She had participated, she still wouldn't have controlled the narrative. So I think that's the, I think the problem is
that's fair.
That she was not in control.
Fair.
You got to it.
Right.
She wasn't in control. And I just think, just to be even more fair, look, I haven't cut off anybody in my family, but if I'd imagine if I hadn't talked to somebody for 10 years and a reporter reaches out to them, yeah, I might be a little nervous about what that person is going to say, especially since I'm not going to come in to correct any kind of stories. So, yeah, I mean,
you know what else it did? And again, like, there were some uncomfortable, problematic, flat out damning accusations when it came to her character. But you know what else this article succeeded in accomplishing? It humanized her. It humanized her, because who among us does not have complicated family dynamics? Not to say you've cut somebody over. I've cut somebody off. Not speaking.
Say it again, preacher.
Like that.
Say it again.
Universal. It's universal.
Yeah.
I didn't just enjoy the story from a journalistic standpoint. I enjoyed it because it was a complete story. It was complete. It was like it had her flaws, her strengths, her highs, her lows, her critics, her chips.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Leaders,
all 9 out of 10, at your age and with your accomplishments, this is still like a head turner for a lot of people.
Yeah, not very long. Not very long. I'm on the other side, obviously at a hill, so I'm not going to play another 21 years after Dan's show, but not very long. I don't know when that door will close as far as when I'll retire, but I don't have much time left.
What's he saying there, Michael? What's LeBron saying?
I don't have much time left. I don't have much time left. Next year is the last year. It ain't going to be this year. I'm sorry. That's not happening. That's not happening. It has to be a celebration. It's a production. We know that. So, ain't no surprises. Ain't no announcements. It's not going to be like Michael Jordan coming back from baseball. The old school facts.
Yeah.
I'm back. No, I'm out. No. Next year.
That's what he's saying?
Last year. Age 40. Age 40 season. He'll be done.
I think what he's saying, and this goes back to, you know, remember when he talked about he doesn't want a farewell tour because he doesn't like attention? And we collectively laughed. Collectively laughed. I think what he's saying is appreciate this while you can. I love when he left the court in Brooklyn to a standing ovation, and he came and he did his, like, you know, his little crown celebration.
Yeah.
I think he's saying, like, well, first of all, he was asked. And his answer, well, there was nothing problematic about his answer, or nothing off-putting, I should say, about his answer. He said, hey, I don't know. I think it's obvious, stating the obvious, that we know he's not going to play another 21 years, that he's closer to the end than he is the middle or the beginning. That's obvious. But I think what he's really saying, I think reading between the lines, is, hey, I don't have much time left. and, you know, give me my flowers while I'm here. Or it shouldn't take a farewell tour for y'all to celebrate me. Understand what you're witnessing.
I would say, who hasn't given LeBron his flowers?
Who grows tired of flowers?
The florists have been working constantly for 21 years. The flower shops are empty. We're out of stock. We don't have roses anymore.
Here's one area that could use another bouquet. This little area could use another bouquet.
Let's hear
his evolution. His evolution. I'm old enough to remember packing the paint and saying we'll live with him shooting. Like the evolution from why won't he get his big ass down on the block?
Yeah.
To becoming, whenever he feels like it, the best four man in the league at one point. Yeah. Whatever he felt like. You know what I mean? And obviously played a lot of center as the game has evolved. The shooter that he is. Like, Michael, if you'd have told me in 2006 that at 39 years old, LeBron would make 9 out of 10 threes, I'd have been like, well, did they shorten the three-point line? He ain't going to be mistaken for Steph Curry. But LeBron evolving into a knockdown shooter from distance is one of the great accomplishments of his career. LeBron taking his kryptonite and turning it into a strength by the time it was all said and done, to me, doesn't get enough celebration. Like
I'll tell you what's overstated.
What?
Because we saw that sign, LeBron James, first to 40,000 points. When he says, and this is comical too. I mean, look, I mean, he's a secure dude, but he just needs you to know. He likes to talk that good stuff to me one more time. Say it again. He likes the applause. He likes the words. He likes the verbiage. Yeah, tell me more. Exactly. Tell me more. When he says shooting, like, that's not even the best thing I do. Bruh.
It's not.
You score 40,000 points.
Which Bruh, is
you
crazy.
Like to shoot. Like, you like, no, dude, you like to shoot, though. You like to shoot. Don't tell me, like, we're not talking about.
No, he didn't say he doesn't like to. He said it's not the best thing he does.
It is. Yes,
I think that's another feather
he's
in his cap.
He's a great scorer.
He's a great scorer. He's an all-time leading scorer, and that's not the primary part of his game.
That is the primary part of his game. I'm going to tell you, that's the primary part of his game. You got 40,000 points. That's the primary part of your damn game. You like scoring. Now, is he the best shooter?
No, he's the best shooter I've ever seen. He likes making the right play. I will not let you
and
take this from LeBron.
And sometimes the right play is going to the basket and scoring.
Right. I will not let you take this from LeBron. Like, LeBron, you know this. We're both old enough to remember him being criticized for passing when we thought he should have shot the ball. So right. he's always been, I won't say a reluctant scorer, but he would rather pass than shoot. I think that's fair to say. He'd rather pass than shoot.
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that after 40,000. 40,000 plus. No.
Why not?
He's not a selfish. Let me meet you in the middle and say he's not a selfish player. He's not. He's never been. I watch him still. And he puts on a clinic. The way he plays basketball is the way. Now, you could teach from that. You know, if you're a coach, you teach from some of the decisions that he makes on the basketball court.
Correct.
Still. Very
right.
impressive. He's That's not selfish.
He scores because he has to score
but
in
rather
order to
rather pass than score?
Yes, he would rather pass than score. I think that's obvious. I think that's everybody knows
is
that.
Is it?
Or what? Is that what he wants us to think?
Yeah.
is that just good for the brand? Is that just good for the brand?
I just go back to the, right.
I just go back to the production. I go back to the production. The production makes it hard. That makes it a hard sell.
What production? You mean like Spring Hill?
All those points.
Oh, okay. It's okay.
Yeah. You know, I'd rather pass than shoot. Why do shots?
Because he wants to win. No, all like right. if LeBron were like, hey, yo, I'm just getting mine. Y'all get y'all's off the glass. I mean, he'd have 50,000. He might have 60,000. Who knows? Now, he wouldn't have won. Maybe. He wouldn't have gone to 10 straight finals. But, I mean, nobody could stop him from getting to the basket. But like I said, then he added and expanded his game to include a three-pointer and be as reliable a three-point shooter as he is.
Yeah, see, that's amazing.
I mean, that's incredible. I would have never foreseen him becoming, yeah.
If somebody said that to you in 2006, you'd be surprised. If somebody said to me in 2010, he's going to play when he's 39. I'd say, yep, I'm not surprised. But right. I thought he would be
But he won't be,
like,
one of the best players in the league.
You know what I thought he would be like? I thought he would be like a Karl Malone kind of power player. I certainly didn't think he'd be this fast at 39.
This explosive.
Yeah. He's explosive.
Yeah.
Now, right. He's not. Like,
Where's the old man game that he's supposed to have right now?
I'll tell you where the old man game is. The old man game comes when you say, hey, can you give us 75 games? No, he cannot. Mm-hmm. He cannot give you 75.
He should not.
He can give you 60, maybe 55 to 60. And that's the only reference to his age, his stamina. Throughout the season. During the season, he's going to need some breaks. Or if you don't give him breaks, he will break down.
Yeah. No, but he has not. He's evolved without slowing down. It just needs more maintenance. Needs more maintenance and more management. But again, that's common sense to me. Yes.
Can I tell the people something before we go?
What's
you
that?
Asked me before the show, you said, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, I already know what it is. That's not the question I thought you were going to ask me.
Oh, you didn't think it was going to be that open-ended, neutral, and lean?
Open-ended, neutral, and lean. I thought you were going to ask me, hey, since at 39, he's already had the production that Jordan has had at 39, are you going to go down that Jordan LeBron thing? Are you going to revisit that again? Are you over that yet?
I thought we were going to get through an entire LeBron conversation without invoking the name of Michael Jordan, and here you go.
I thought you were going to ask me that. We don't need to go there.
What does that have to do with? Am I that simple minded that I can't have a? I'm perfectly capable of having a LeBron James conversation without bringing up Michael Jordan.
Okay. I didn't say you were predictable.
Every time I start talking about boxing,
you come out your mouth.
I wonder what you thought he was really saying last night when he said I don't have much time. So you got him in next. You got him in next year. So plan
next year is it
your farewell?
Great.
Pageantry and ceremony. Buy your gifts for next season, 2024, 2025.
40 years old. Yep. It's
with,
be great.
With Bronny at his side, with Bronny playing with him. Teammates
24, 25 season. I mean, just the concerts. Like what city will outdo? Like Madison Square Garden. Get ready, MSG. Get ready, Brooklyn. So, yeah, you know, the Lakers are going to have, like, you know, multiple celebrations. But some of these East Coast cities, you got to step up your game. Miami? What you got, Miami? The land? You only got one shot. You got one shot to get this right.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.